Remix. Rewind.
This is the remix.
No, this is the rewind.
Welcome back to your favorite podcast. It's your girl, Jada Kalise.
What's up, y'all? It's Jay Lamon.
It's the one and only Jasmine J. And this is
Remix and Rewind.
We are so happy to be back and absolutely better than ever. And if you're new here, this is the place where we introduce you to new music, artists, theories, and ways to connect your real life to the music you listen to.
Y'all, I'm so happy to be back. Like, I missed being in the studio. I missed being with my girls. Like, I'm excited for this new chapter of Remix and Rewind. Like, we're really...
Very much. No, we are. We're going up. We're elevating. We have so many exciting things in store for this season, especially because it's our senior season.
Yes. Big ups.
What's the place?
Now, speaking of real life and music, today we're talking about something Jermaine Dupri said that really caught my attention. He basically said no one makes music for teens anymore, and he's basically expressing the idea that the responsibility for creating music for that demographic falls to him.
It's actually really crazy that he says this because obviously, as we know, he was on the Rap Game. There was 5 seasons, and we have all these Rap Game winners, and I don't know about y'all, but I have not heard from them, like, at all. The winners of the Rap Game, I think Nova is one of them, Monty, Tyler Rain, Street Bud, and Lotto. So obviously we know about Lotto, like Lotto's big now, but I don't know if that's necessarily as a result of Jermaine Dupri. And actually the season 5 winner, Tyler Rain, talked about it on her TikTok, and she was basically saying, and I quote, she said, 16-year-old me trying to figure out what I won the Rap Game for if he wasn't going to help me in the first place.
Ooh.
I think that's crazy because he was the executive producer of the show. Like, it's not even like he was just brought in as a host. He created and produced the show. So it's like you have full creative control over what's going on with the show and bringing in that next generation of talent. So the fact that you dropped the ball and you're a part of the problem that you're now want to speak on,
yeah.
I don't like that.
Honestly, I've never watched the Rap Game, but I am aware that Lotto was on there. I think J.I., the Prince of New York, was on there too. And he had like a little run and then he fizzled out.
Yeah.
I peeped that. I did like his music. It was pretty good. But honestly, I've never seen anybody come up from the Rap Game and rep it for real, for real.
Yeah, it definitely gave them publicity. But that actually being helped, being toned into an artist, I'm not seeing that.
Hmm. I will say before the Rap Game in the 90s, he definitely was instrumental in getting a lot of young people into the industry, like Escape. I think he did a lot with like 702, Crisscross, like young Bow Wow. He did a lot back in the day with younger artists. But I think those people are elders now, so it's like you have to continue to do that work if you're going to continue to speak on the problem.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I was actually just about to talk about that, how like the late 90s babies, they had artists like Lil Romeo, Bow Wow, 3LW, and B2K, and while we, the 2000s babies, we had the OMG girls, Mindless Behavior, Fifth Harmony, early Justin Bieber, and Jacob Lattimore. It's like all of them made music for us about, you know, crushes and friendships and basically growing up as a teenager or a preteen. But I feel like kids today, their options are looking very, very slim. And I kind of want to break it down to ask y'all, what do you think happened and why don't we see the same kind of age-appropriate artists coming up now?
I think the way, and I hate to be the person to bash on social media, but I think social media does play a bigger part in it than we think. I think the fact that when we were on social media, it was kind of limited to our age demographic.
Mm-hmm.
But now, because what's popular for younger people is popular for us as well, and people even older than us, we're all consuming the same media. Back in the day, we weren't all consuming the same media. We weren't all watching the same shows. We weren't all doing the same dances. There were lanes created specifically for us. And now I think that those lanes aren't being created. And I think that spilled over into the music that we listen to. Because when it comes to these record labels and people who are creating music, they're going with the trends. They're not making music for young people because they feel like young people aren't where the money is. And they used to be.
Yeah, I feel like there definitely used to be a very, very, very fine line between what was for kids and what's for adults. And I do feel like adults are infiltrating spaces that are meant for the kids.
Yes.
TikTok was supposed to be for the kids.
No, literally.
And now we have adults monetizing off of their lives in the same spaces that kids are making fun little dance trends and whatnot. They don't have spaces for them anymore. And that translates to the music industry as well.
And even just in general in society, there's not really that much of a teen phase anymore. Like if you look at kids in high school, they dress the way that adults do. So there's like a big gap there. It's like kid to adult. There is no teen phase. So since they're there is no teen phase, there's nothing really to cater to.
Remember when we were in like middle school and high school, there was even like, there were people that were not connected to these big entities that were still making stuff for us. Remember couples channels, those family channels?
Yes, Ace Family.
Like Ace Family, De'Ara and Ken, like De'Ara these were adults, but they still knew that their audience were preteens to high schoolers and they catered that to us. They might have cursed a little. They might have, you know, maybe suggested at older things, but their content was family friendly. And I feel like there's not a lot of family friendly content nowadays.
Absolutely. That's a really good point. I never even thought about it like that. Like even Queen and what's his name? Queen and Clarence.
Chris and Queen.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's like I think they still do cater to that audience a little bit. I feel like they kind of grew up now that, you know, like because they know that their audience is growing up with them.
Even TikTok dancers, like we had so much. Even
Charli D'Amelio.
Exactly. Like we had so much that was for us.
Mm-hmm.
The older generation wasn't interested in what TikTok dancers in Atlanta had going on because they had their own thing for adults. We had our own thing for teenagers. Preteens had their own thing for preteens. And now it's all conglomerated into one thing. And we're all consuming the same content. And I just think that for one, it makes the adults be childish.
No, literally.
That's an understatement.
It makes adults childish, but it also makes children grow up faster than they need to in a society where nobody has a childhood anyways.
Mm-hmm. Also, I feel like TikTok is like the overwhelming social media platform. If somebody don't have Instagram, they have TikTok. And TikTok is very much accessible in that they feed you what they want to feed you. Like, it's very much based on what you're looking at. Whereas Instagram or some other thing, it's like based on who you follow. So I feel like that also plays a big part in why adults and kids are kind of consuming the same media.
I absolutely agree. And I do want to bring up two artists that people could argue are for, quote unquote, for the kids. And I want to bring up Olivia Rodrigo and Sabrina Carpenter. While they are absolutely talented and they do have a kind of like a kid fan base, I just feel like the themes of their songs often lean toward romance and sexual undertones.
Yeah.
And
especially I feel like that's Sabrina Carpenter.
Absolutely. And I kind of feel like that's what a lot of the artists do now. Like they may be for the kids a little bit because they grew up with them, but they're trying to break out of that.
Yeah, I will say that their music from earlier in their careers before they blew up was a little more child friendly. Like when they first started, Sabrina Carpenter didn't always make this suggestive music that she does now. And what's her name?
Olivia Rodrigo.
Olivia Rodrigo didn't always make that depressing music that she make now. But you sorry. But at one point, they were making music for the younger generation. But I think there's nobody to fill the spot that they're leaving now that they're growing up, because it's not their fault that they're turning into women. So they're not going to make Disney Channel music forever. They have to grow up like the artists before them grew up. But there has to be artists that come in after them to replace them. And that just hasn't happened yet.
And I want to say like the Disney and Nick pipeline, or the Disney and Nick to instant pop star pipeline, is very thin now.
It's waning.
It is. I feel like Sabrina and Olivia might be the last.
Yeah, like before, I know with Disney Channel specifically, if you were signed under Disney, you had to sign under Hollywood Records.
Oh, for real? I didn't know that.
Yes, like you were signed in Hollywood Records and they did the artist development. They gave you songs to, you know, sing and albums to put out. You couldn't just be a Disney Channel star if you didn't have no music behind you.
Hmm.
They're not doing that now.
And you know what's crazy? I'm starting to think about it, because while I didn't know that, it's very evident. Especially Miley Cyrus, Demi Lovato, Selena Gomez. Selena Gomez was literally with the group before she went solo.
Yes.
It was Selena Gomez and what, The Scene?
Yes, and The Scene. Even people that you didn't know had such a big following behind them, like Ashley Tisdale and Vanessa Hudgens.
Oh, yeah.
They both had record deals under Hollywood and they both put out albums. Hilary Duff. People don't even know Hilary Duff made music, but she definitely did under that Disney machine. They all did. Zendaya. Now it's just like, oh, you play music if you're really passionate about it. And I don't know like what is going on behind the scenes as to why everybody isn't making that music, but it's become a lost art, man.
I want to touch base on Zendaya, because I feel like we did get like a pretty good amount of music from her. And I remember like her last song was like with Chris Brown, and there was a music video supposed to come out with it, and it just never aired. And then that was the end of her music career. I don't know what that was about, but
yeah. I don't know. And I also feel like there's this need to break away from, I guess, quote unquote, childish music now that there wasn't in the past. I think because it's such a unpopular or unfavored medium to make content for, you don't feel respected as an artist if you only make music for preteens and teenagers anymore. And it used to not be like that.
I actually think that's very true. I do think that people don't really like respect people who make family-friendly music. Like, that's not the popular art. That's why you have artists like Sexy Red, and you have like kids listening to those type of, yeah.
Sexy Red be performing at high schools. Y'all seen that?
Yeah, no. Like, what is that? That was, yeah, I seen that. Like, literally, what is that? Why is that a thing?
Like,
was it censored or?
I don't even know.
I don't know, but it's like, why is Sexy Red at my kid's high school during the pep rally shaking her butt? Yeah. Why are we doing that?
It doesn't make any sense to me. And to piggyback off of what you just said, Jasmine, about people not respecting people that make family-friendly music, and Jared piggybacking off of what you also said about people wanting to break out of that, Chloe and Halle are a great example. Mm. A great example. Like, once they separated, because as a duo, they made great music together, and I do think it was pretty family-friendly for the most part.
Yeah.
And it was still deep.
It was. It was definitely still conveying a message. But once they separated, Chloe was very quick to change that narrative. Like, I'm not that girl that was in Chloe and Halle. I'm grown and sexy.
Yeah, and it took Halle a longer time, and her grown and sexy hasn't really hit yet, but it's definitely more mature content. She's a mom now, and you know what I'm saying? They are growing up, and I don't think it was out of place for them, but I think when you have artists that are growing up and growing out of that, you have to have other artists that are coming in. You know how we talked about how there were different waves of stars for our generation and the generation before us? There needs to be another wave to come in and make it popular. If you're the media, you control the narrative. You control what's popular for, you know, the consumer. If you put the content out, we're going to eat it up if it's good. If you market something towards preteens and teenagers that is actually good and quality and people who actually respect the work and actually take pride in the work that they're making for teens and families, then the consumer is going to eat it up. Those conservative parents don't want their kids listening to all this grown people music anyways. But if you give their kids something quality, then maybe they'll bite. Maybe it won't have to be like this forever.
I also think we live in an era of disposable artists. So like, people aren't really thinking about, like, I feel like it's very song, like individual song. Like, that person has a really good song. But like, in terms of, are we investing in the artist? Artists come and go at this point. Like, so it's like growing up with them isn't really like, for the kids now, I feel like it's not realistic.
And that goes into like a point that I wanted to bring up really, really badly, is that because there's no teen music, there's a lot less longevity in the music industry as a whole. Like, I have an older sister and an aunt, and they're like literally the same age, and they happen to really love Beyonce and Brandy, and it's because they got to grow up into adulthood with those artists. So my sister has been listening to Brandy since she was in middle school, and she's been listening to Destiny's Child and Beyonce since she was in high school, and she got to grow up with those artists. So when they were young teenagers, my sister was a young teenager. When they were in their 20-something figuring out life and, you know, figuring out relationships for the first time, that's what my sister was going through, and it was reflected in the music. When they became grown women and got married, that's what my sister and my aunt were going through. When they became grown women with families and became sexual beings, that's the same thing that was happening. So they got to transition through all those stages of life with their artists. You know what I'm saying? We barely even have that, and the kids younger than us definitely don't have that. And I think that's what stops a lot. Like, that's why there's no longevity. You have to grow up with your icon.
I absolutely agree. I feel like Justin Bieber is another one of those people. I feel like that's why his fan base is also very, very strong, and why they really do care about his well-being and seeing where he's going right now, or what he's putting out, painting himself right now, how he's painting himself right now, and what it looks like for him mentally. I think a lot of people care about that because we grew up with him. We started when he was in Canada as a little boy, like literally a teenager. We grew up since then, when he was on the streets playing the acoustic guitar.
And on MySpace and stuff.
Literally.
I also feel the same way about Chris Brown. I think so many people are like lost as to why people are paying $1,000 to take a selfie with him, but it's because these young ladies have had posters of Chris Brown since Chris Brown's first album came out when he was 16. Mm. His fans were 16 or younger, or you know what I'm saying? They were in that same demographic. So they had posters of this teenager as they were a teenager. So they feel so connected to him because they grew up with him. They became adults with him. And now they have the chance to meet him, and it just means so much to them. And I feel like that's a lost art. That's why we are looking at these ladies like, girl, what you doing? But it's because we don't understand that, because we didn't have much of a opportunity to do that with the artists that we love.
I also low-key feel like we're in the last stage of the nostalgia era, because we have artists like Big Time Rush or like the Jonas Brothers coming back to like basically reignite their
like what do you call it? Reheat they nachos.
Literally, because they were just on Kai Cenat's stream, the Jonas Brothers.
Yes.
And y'all see Fifth Harmony is getting back together.
I did not see that, but that's interesting.
I don't know how I feel about that, but like it just shows you that like there's bank in
putting reunions.
Yeah, exactly. Reunion. And that even shows me that there's bank in putting effort into these young artists because they create a fan base that's absolutely really strong. And I got some of the artists that I grew up listening to, a lot of older artists, but they started when they were like teenagers. So I have a list of these stars and how old they were when they put out their first projects. So Britney Spears was 16 when her first album came out. Monica was 14. Justin Timberlake with NSYNC was 17. JoJo, the singer, leave, get out. She was 13. Aaliyah was 15. Brandy was also 15. Destiny's Child and Beyonce, they were 17 to like, I think that 16 to 18 range, but Beyonce was 17. Rihanna was also 17 when her first album came out. Christina Aguilera was 18. Usher was 15 when his first album came out. A lot of people don't know that. Chris Brown was 16. So it's like, you have to bank in these young artists with talent. You have to scout these artists, these young people, and really put a lot of effort and care into them and allow them to grow up and become the musical phenomenons that we know these people to be now.
Absolutely. And I do want to add to that and say that the people that you just named, they are all still very much relevant with reason.
Even Aaliyah passing, like her still fan base about. Is so huge. Mm-hmm. And her it was huge lives. Before she passed because mm-hmm. they were able to grow up with her even for that short amount of time. They went with her from a 15-year-old to a growing woman, a young woman who was roughly our age when she passed away, but her content became more mature and it just allows you to feel so connected. Like my favorite artist is Brandy, obviously, and I wasn't a teenager when she was a teenager, but when I was a teenager, I was listening to the music she made when she was a teenager and I really connected with it and I felt very seen by it. And that's why she's one of my favorite artists, because I'm able to even grow up with her old music in a way. So I think that we're just missing that as a people.
I absolutely agree.
And going back to scouting talent and the Jermaine Dupri thing, it's actually really like funny that he's the one to make that point. And in my opinion, he really was the one I seen growing up really actually going out trying to give new artists a platform. Well, whether or not he actually did that, that's what it looked like on the outside. But even when he was promoting The Rap Game Season 5, he said that he felt that this season you could really feel his frustration because he felt like he was catfished. And this is after the season wrapped up. This is after the person won, Tyler Raine won, and he's going on national TV basically saying that he was catfished with these artists because he wasn't aware or he didn't keep in mind that they could alter their voices or change things on social media. And I also feel like sometimes there's not the same amount of investment in these artists in the way that people aren't willing to spend as much time. Whereas like before, I feel like people really try to curate this person, really like they really care for the people they're managing. Not to say Jermaine Dupri didn't, although Tyler Raine did say she only spoke to him 4 times. I don't know. But I feel like they really were willing to take them from ground zero and build them up. And I feel like now people are, if you don't have that instant talent or you don't have that instant notoriety, you don't have the instant fan base, oh, but we're not working with you because it's going to take too long. And right now, this is a very fickle industry.
Yeah, I feel like people aren't seeing the potential. They are not going out there and going on TikTok to see the people that are actually taking the time out of their day to edit these videos or put their songwriting out there or have the courage to put their songwriting out there. They're not looking for those people. They're looking for the people that already have a trend with their song.
Exactly.
Yeah, they want you to come to them already being a star. They don't want to turn you into a star. They want you to already be a star by the time they get their hands on you. And that's just not the case, especially when you're talking about literal children. It's just not going to happen. And I think that's also another reason why we don't have those young icons anymore, because you have to take them children and mold them. And you also have to deal with their parents. And a lot of people might not want to do that either. So that could be another reason as to why we don't have teen stars, because nobody, like Jasmine said, the industry is just way too fickle to really hanker down and develop them.
And that's what kills me, because while that applies to the music industry, that doesn't apply to the acting industry. We got iconic kid actresses. Still. And actors. Yes, very much so. Because they saw the potential in them. They put the time into them. They put them in acting classes. They put them through PR training and whatnot. Why doesn't the music industry get that same energy?
It's crazy to me how it's almost become the opposite when it comes to music versus acting. Because before, acting took a long time to produce. Like, it took a long time for a show to come out, but it was so quick. Like, there was a season every year, and you had to be there. And they had to juice these kids before they went to puberty. celebrity. Literally, yeah. That was a thing. Like, some show productions moved to New York because the child labor laws were different than what they were in L.A.
Right. Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes, bro. Like, it was quick.
Milking them, juicing them.
Juicing them for all their youth. You get what I'm saying? And then it was the music that took a while for the artists to come out. So now it's like the opposite. They're taking their time with the actors, but then want the music to come out really, really quick.
I also feel like it's probably because music isn't as predictable as it used to be. Like, there was a general, like, sort of, like, with R&B, there was a general sound, there was a general, you know, sort of vibe with the music, whereas I feel like music now, like, the music that becomes popular is very, like, oh, that's random. Popular. Like, it's very random. It's not, there's no consistent trend. So you really do, with the, like, managers and stuff and these people who are trying to sign artists and stuff, they really have to guess, like, whether or not this person will be relevant. Because there's a lot of artists that I personally thought were so, like, Alessia Cara is one example. Like, I remember thinking, like, oh, like, she, when I was younger, she gonna be the...
She gonna be something.
She gonna be her.
Yeah.
And...
She's nowhere to be found.
She not here.
I think it's really interesting because before, it wasn't based off a trend. When you think about a trend is it being, like, timely.
Mm-hmm.
And beforehand, everything wasn't based off trends. It was based off talent and what was good. And something can be good now, it's still going to be good 20 years from now.
Yeah.
What's good now, if it came out before, it was good then. Trends are only for a specific time period. And I think if we get away from being trendy altogether and just focus on quality over quantity, then we could maybe get back to a place where we have teen icons and younger people really pushing, being stars.
And low-key, the trends move fast. Like, they move way, way, way faster than, like, you can even... Like, I'll literally scroll down to, like, songs I used to listen to when I was in high school, and I'll literally be like, ooh, that's not...
Yeah, nobody's making music like that no more.
Exactly.
But it was only how many years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think, while she's not a teenager, I think this is what makes Doja Cat different from so many other artists. She don't care about no trend.
Exactly.
She just came out with, like, an 80s-influenced album.
And she was on the Elvis... She did the...
Yeah, she was on the Elvis soundtrack.
Which, like, is random.
She doesn't care about none of that. Yeah. And I think that's what makes her such a great artist. She might be a weird person, but she's a great artist. Great artist.
I also think we just talked about her earlier, but Sabrina Carpenter is also somebody that I feel like doesn't follow trends in the same way. I think because she's so popular, what she does becomes trendy.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, nobody was being a pinup girl when she was being a pinup girl. Nobody was itching for a song with Dolly Parton, but Sabrina Carpenter was. You know what I'm saying? I think that's why she stands out among a lot of her peers, because she doesn't necessarily follow trends. She makes her own.
And another thing about Sabrina is, with her, you know her timeline.
Yeah.
She was in a relationship when Short and Sweet came out, right?
She was in a relationship, but she also was still dealing with the fallout from the drama with her and Olivia Rodrigo.
Right. We got that in that album.
Yeah.
And then Short and Sweet Deluxe is what just came out, or a different album came out?
No, it was called Man's Best Friend just came out.
Yeah. She's not with that man anymore. Mm-mm. That's very evident.
And you can tell.
Exactly. So she definitely doesn't care about trends. She just goes by what happens in her life. And that's how it should be.
Yeah, because if you think about artists that are still relevant, they all, like, maintained their sound. Like Ariana Grande, I was thinking we all were talking, like, artists that kind of, like, maintain their sound. I feel like Ariana Grande maintained a sound, but also goes with the trend a little bit. And even though Ariana Grande is not my favorite artist, when I listen to old songs of her, I'm like, oh, Problem A. I can't remember off the top of my dome right now, but but, like, the song, oh, the one with Mac Miller.
Like, Baby that's a, I?
No, I
the
love
way.
The way.
Yes, the way.
Like, that song is still a great song.
Absolutely.
Years later. And then, like, I just feel like you don't see that sometimes with other artists. But the artists that you do see it from are the ones that have maintained longevity.
And I also think the people that we just named, Doja Cat, Sabrina Carpenter, and Ariana Grande, they worked to get to where they are before they blew up.
Mm-hmm.
Doja Cat, I didn't even know that she had, like, a career in the music industry before she blew up. But she was, like, a break dancer. She was always surrounding the industry before she blew up.
Mm-hmm.
Ariana Grande started on Broadway and Nick, and she never really stopped singing before she blew up. Sabrina Carpenter started on Disney, and she was making music for Disney. I think she was also signed to Hollywood at one point, one of the last artists to, like, have that, what I was talking about earlier. And she put out multiple albums before Short and Sweet. So these artists, not even in the traditional sense, but they still had artist development before they became mainstream in some way.
Yeah, I agree.
So as we close out the episode, I want to hear what y'all's favorite childhood song was. I'll go first. Mine was Pretty Girl by Mind's Behavior. I still listen to that song a lot. I love that song. I love Mind's Behavior. And yeah, the 8.
See.
So mine, y'all know I love something unpopular. One of my favorite artists has always been Keke Palmer. That was somebody for me that I felt like I was able to grow up with, from True Jackson and Jump In and all those things that she, Rags, like I was able to grow up with her. And my favorite song from her when she was a teenager, it was called Dance Alone. I tear that song up, y'all. Like I was just tearing it up in the shower. I had my choreography, I had my lights on, like, but I'm at me dance alone.
Wait, I know what song you're talking about now. I remember the music video.
It was T, was it not?
So T,
yes,
no.
It's like,
Keke
yes.
used to have some visuals on her.
Keke has, she's so underrated. Like, I could do a whole episode about Keke Palmer and her music.
Very. She's very underrated, actually. I'm going to say for my favorite childhood song, I was a believer. You couldn't tell
you
me nothing.
That.
You
Y'all give that.
Cannot tell me nothing about Justin Bieber. Like, I was a pop girly at heart. So I'm going to have to go off of his Believe album and choose either Right Here featuring Drake or Catching Feelings. So that's two songs for me, actually.
It's so crazy that Justin Bieber was really out here collaborating with, like, big-time artists at, like, 14.
Man's had a freaking Ludacris feature on his debut album. Then he was collabing with Usher. And then Drake, like,
then Nicki.
Big Sean. Nicki Minaj. Beauty and the like, Beat. What are we doing?
And then they all ate. They saw it.
I actually do have another one. I was like a fan of Ariana before I knew I was a fan of Ariana. And mm-hmm. she has that song called Popular Song. I used to tear that up.
What's the person named Micah or something?
With Micah, yes. I used to tear that song up. So I also want to add that.
And that's also a full circle moment for her with doing
Wicked. With
Wicked,
yeah. Because yes, it was based off Popular from the Broadway show Wicked.
Okay, period. Well, that's it for today's episode of Remix and Rewind. We talked about the gap in music for preteens and teens, why it mattered when we were growing up, and what it means now that the lane is kind of empty.
It's such a nuanced conversation, and we want to know what y'all think. Do kids today even want music made just for them, or are they fine just jumping straight into adult music? Make sure to tap in with our social media and let us know your thoughts. We love hearing from y'all.
Hopefully, we inspired you to take a deeper look into the music you already love or discover some new favorites. And that was Remix and Rewind.
Remix and Rewind is produced in the studio of WANM-FM 90.5 School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.